So, Holy Spirit builds the church, which is really kind of a continuation of where I started in October. It really is. Though some of them have been standalone, they all build upon each other. And I will say things that you may go, huh, but they were explained in previous messages. So, and I really want to encourage you, if you didn't hear Terry the last 2 weeks, to listen to him. They're both on the website, both excellent teachings. So I really encourage you to listen to those. Back on April 21st, I talked about the resurrection of Jesus. It was Resurrection Sunday, what a lot of people would call Easter Sunday. I prefer Resurrection Sunday. And one of those things, and I went through a list of, I think it was 8 or 9, different things that flowed out of resurrection, Jesus' resurrection. And a big one that I ended with was talking about the church. And I think at that point in time, I said you would be hearing more about the church. And that's where I believe the Holy Spirit is leading us. Holy Spirit builds the church, the title of the thing. So in doing that, I want to ask two questions. So Father, I ask that you just be with us, that you encourage us, that you strengthen us, that you watch over us, that you lead us and guide us. And I pray, Father, that we would put on our listening ears, that we would focus on you as we go through this time. And I pray, as always, that whatever is of you would pierce our hearts, and that whatever is not of you would fall on the floor before us. So what is the church? What is the church? You know, you talk to people, and I talk to a lot of people in this town, talk to a lot of people elsewhere, and if you ask them that question, what is the church, you would get a myriad of answers. So what I'm going to do right now is I'm going to go through a list of 30-something things, just going to read through them real quickly, that the church is. And if you're listening, I suspect that it's quite possible you might become overwhelmed with this list. I know I am. But I think Jesus wants us to be overwhelmed. And there's a reason, because I'm asking two questions this morning. And the first is, what is the church? So what are some of the things that the church is? And then we'll get to the second, which I think will release and relieve us of that being overwhelmed and bring peace. So here's some things. It's a dynamic revolutionary movement without walls. It's a place where people love Jesus, love people, and serve our community. It's a community that reaches out and serves people where we live. It's a community of believers that have accepted Jesus as their Savior. It's people who walk out the Beatitudes, which we started back in October. It's people who walk out the doctrines of the Apostles' Creed, which I think we got into sometime in December. It's God-ordained. It's Jesus-centered. It's Holy Spirit-led with the laying down of our lives for one another. It's where our minds are renewed. It's where our hearts are nurtured and expressed. It's a place where there is ongoing prayer. It's a place where a group of imperfect people acting like Jesus' body hang out together, reflecting God's love and welcomes and reaches out to all kinds of people because all people matter to God and should matter to us. It's all kinds of different people who are not, but will be. It's something that God bought. It's all without need. It's a place where all are without need. It's something that belongs to God. It's something which will be built by God, Jesus, and Holy Spirit. It's something whose head is Christ and is subject to Christ. It's something that is loved by Christ. It's a hospital. It's where grace and mercy abound and are given away. It's a place that is messy and can get really messy. It's a place where the apostolic teachings, the Bible, is taught. It's something sanctified by Christ. It's something that is a place of, of unity, peace, and joy. It's a place that has biblical government. It's where the love of God trumps fear. It's something that displays the wisdom of God. It's a place of power. It's a place of freedom. It's a place where people seek and love God. It's a place where people abide in God. It's something that might, and I'll even endeavor to say will, endure persecution. And if you don't think that, remember the Beatitudes? Went through all those Beatitudes and it ends up with, blessed are those who are persecuted, blessed are those who are reviled. Do you realize there was a shooting? I'm just a little rabbit trail to explain persecution. There was a little rabbit, there was a shooting in New Zealand of a Muslim, what do they call them?
Mosque.
By some nut, some fanatic, where 48, 49 people were killed. And it went around the world. And everybody was appalled. And they should have been. And hopefully we were all praying for those people, because that's just hard. But you might not know that a couple weeks after, there were 600 Christians killed in Africa. Did you read that in the papers? Did you hear that on your local news? What's that say? A few years ago, there was an op-ed in the New York Times that a guy wrote that said the answer to the LGBTQT plus movement is to eradicate Christianity. That's essentially what it said. It didn't use that word, but that's essentially what it said. Christianity is under attack in this country. And unless something happens, it will change. But here's the plus. Rodney Kingstone, some of you may remember him. You know, he went back into China, and he was in a wagon covered with straw, and they took pitchfork somewhere along the line and came across the China militia. Now, if you remember Rodney, he's about 6'3", 6'4", 240 pounds, laying in this wagon with straw over him. And these soldiers took a pitchfork and started going like this all through the wagon. That 6'3 guy that's 240 pounds wasn't touched. But when he got back there, he heard stories of how a leader had been arrested, left a wife and several kids. You know what the wife and several kids did? They didn't denounce Christianity. They pursued God even more. And you know something? Every morning when she opened up her door, there was food for the day. She had no idea where it came from. Could have been God putting it there. Could have been. But the church prospers under persecution. That's just the truth. Do you remember that, a number of years ago when ISIS cut off the heads of all those Christian people? Christian and Michelle, one of the two, I can't remember which one, told me a story of the one class that they were just went to. Tell me if I get the story wrong. But there was some guy kneeling there in that line that was not a Christian, right? But they were lopping off heads. You have not. Do you renounce Christianity? No. Do you renounce Jesus? No. Do you renounce Jesus? No. Come to him. And what did they say? Their God, and when they asked him the question, he basically accepted Jesus and said, their God is my God. Talk about the parable of the person that came in the last hour. I'm just telling you what's possible. I'm not saying it's coming, but it's here. That doesn't make any sense, does it? But we worry about telling somebody about Jesus and them giving us a dirty look, you know. But it's a place where gifts are released. It's a place that where we are to go out in the world and telling and demonstrating our stories. It's a place where we learn to focus on what really and only matters, the triune God. And many, many, many more. Does it overwhelm you? It overwhelms me. I look at those things and I go, strike one, strike two, strike three, strike five. I'm in serious doo-doo. but there's the grace of God, and there's the body. Because it's not about, it's about all of us walking together so that all of us walk into all of this. And these are all important. But here's where we find peace. We come to the second question. Is how do we build and walk in his church? And I'm going to lay out, walk as his church. How can we and will we accomplish these 35, 36, 34, whatever it was, things, and the myriad of other things that I didn't even mention? Now, if you remember, on March 24th, I discussed in some detail what can happen to the church when we do it our way. When we don't do what Jesus prayed. What did he pray in John 17, 15, and 18? And there's these other parts I could have added. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world. What? But that you should keep them from the evil one. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. See, but if we go into the world, we're going to bump into the evil one. So why did the Father send the Holy Spirit? John 14, 26, ESV. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. Remember, Jesus is prophesying this just before he goes through the whole ordeal he went through. He will teach you all things and bring you to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Because we need to remember. That's why we need to get in the Word. Whenever I read the Bible, I always do this first. Lord, put this in my heart and put this in my mind. And I've had experiences in my life where I'm horrid at memorizing Scripture. I got through college with short-term memorization. When the class was over, 98.687% of it went bye-bye. You know, that is just not fair, you guys sitting back there eating those roses while I'm up here. Especially with a smile on your face. I'll get you later. But we need to walk as his church. And we need to follow Holy Spirit in everything we do. And I do mean everything we do. On March 31st, we discuss what happens to the church when we do it God's way, when we do follow the Holy Spirit. And we saw, starting back with Huss back in the 1400s and through Martin Luther and all the others that we talked about, how as they followed the Holy Spirit, what happened to the church. We must always focus on God. Now, I want every eye up here because this is extremely important. The reason we need to focus on God is because we will become what we focus on. If we focus on this, we'll become that. If we focus on that, we'll become that. We need to focus on God. That doesn't mean your life stops. We must always walk in godly wisdom in the wisdom of the world. Why? Well, 1 Corinthians 13, 3, 19 to 21 lays out very clearly. For the wisdom of this world is folly with God. That's foolishness. Okay? This is one of the few political statements I'll make. You know what one of the problems with Congress is? The wisdom of man. I didn't say D or R, independent, libertarian, or whatever else is up there, Green Party. I don't know what's all there. But it's the wisdom of man. For it is written, he catches the wise in their craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile. So let no one boast in men. We need to focus on God and boast in him. So the answer is, follow the Holy Spirit. Remember the priority system we talk about around here? God's number one. That's right. That's it. You'll be the best mother. You'll be the best father. You'll be the best child. You'll be the best of whatever. Which all believers can and should do. And because the reason they can and the reason they should is because the Holy Spirit was poured out for us and is available to us. Acts 2:17 and 18 in the ESV. And in last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. I like that part because even though I'm 73, I don't dream. So I must still, but I do have vision, so I must be a young man.
That's right.
And even on my, what are you laughing at? And even on my male servants and female servants in those days, I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. See, Peter is quoting from Joel 2. Here's the truth. With the ascension of Jesus, we entered the last days, and with it came the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, which happened, somebody who's a theologian, how many days after that? 2 weeks after Jesus? Was this? About 10 days after Jesus ascended, the Holy Spirit was poured out. And then, you know, they flowed out and Peter gave his testimony, the sermon and all that stuff, 3,000 saved, 3,000 men, I don't know how many women and children. Peter demonstrates this power by speaking boldly to the crowd, proclaiming the gospel of Christ. Because God had fulfilled his prophetic promises. He had poured out the Holy Spirit. So what does this all mean to us? Well, first, we're still in the last days. If Jesus has returned, please don't tell me that. Because it means I'm in serious doo-doo. But I don't think Jesus has returned yet. And nowhere does the scriptures indicate that the outpouring will cease prior to Jesus' return. In fact, I really believe it will increase. Nowhere does it say in Acts or any other part in the Bible that there's a unique moment in history, that this was a unique moment in history so that the apostles could spread the gospel to the ends of the earth. And then when the last one died, so did all of that. Holy Spirit is alive and well today. He's here. He's right here. He's still manifesting his gifts among the peoples, all of them. Plus, at conversion, each one of us received Holy Spirit. Our flesh did. He's here in us. Galatians 3, 2 and 3, let me ask you only this. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? When we heard with faith, we received the Holy Spirit. Are you so foolish, having begun by the Spirit, or are you now being perfected by the flesh, which is kind of the same thing as saying you're going to walk in the wisdom of God or you're going to walk in the wisdom of man? Galatians 4, 6. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Where it can sometimes be kind of confusing, this is just my personal opinion, is one starts using the phrase, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I'm not saying don't use it, but it can become confusing. The closest that we come to that phrase is in Matthew 3:11. ESV, I baptize you with water. This is John the Baptist speaking. I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. And it's reiterated by Peter in Acts 2:5 and 11:16. But when you read the commentaries, because those people are more brilliant than I am, what they all say, or most of them say, is that what they're talking about is this person, a person experiences conversion in God, we receive the Spirit of regeneration, which in effect makes us become part of the church. But that's not all. It's also talking about an inner transformation by the Holy Spirit as he brings people's lives in living relationship with Christ, bringing them into unity with Christ. And it's also talking about the power and gifts that is given to believers. John Wimber says this, how do we experience spirit baptism? He goes on, it comes at conversion. Conversion and Holy Spirit baptism are simultaneous experiences. The born-again experience is a consummate charismatic experience. That's why the term that's often used in charismatic and Pentecostal church, baptism of the Holy Spirit, can kind of be a little confusing at times. See, it's important for us to all understand if we are born again, we have received Holy Spirit. He's there. D.A. Carson puts it this way. The combination of Greek phrases in the scripture I just read nicely stresses exactly the point that Paul is trying to make. All Christians have been baptized in one spirit. All Christians have been baptized into one body. See, there is no Christian group, true Christian troop, part of the true Christian church, no matter what their beliefs, that don't have Holy Spirit. They all do. See, the evangelicals are correct when they argue that all Christians have experienced spirit baptism at conversion because they were drawn into the kingdom. They were drawn into relationship. They received the Holy Spirit at that time. Jesus lives in our heart. Holy Spirit is there. He was sent to lead us and guide us in all truth. We have him, not as a personal slave or butler, but to follow, to submit our lives to. And quite the opposite, the scripture indicates that there will be subsequent encounters with the Holy Spirit, not just one, as some believe. And this could very easily be identified with what the New Testament calls the filling of the Spirit. The initial one, which is often called the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which is often used. This is just me. I'm not getting into a theological debate here, but I prefer the term filled with the Holy Spirit, or full of the Holy Spirit. As always, I challenge each of you to put on your Berean hats. And what did he have to drink today?
It was good. Put on
our Berean hats and delve into this and look at this. And I'll even help you out by recommending a book that is called titled Miraculous Gifts for Today. Four views. I always recommend read books you don't agree with. Okay, not the heresies, but to look at theology different and so forth. But this book has four views on the miraculous gifts on the Holy Spirit today and how it all happens. One says no, it's a cessationist point of view. Two say yes, they're two different names, that doesn't matter, but they're different. And the fourth is a cautious maybe. You know, it's kind of like they're trying to find the road between yes and no. So what does filled with the Holy Spirit mean? Sam Storms puts it this way. To be filled with the Spirit is to come under progressively more intense and intimate influence of the Spirit. And I like that definition. And here's why I like that definition. How do we talk about our salvation? How do we talk about sanctification? It's a process. We keep plugging away, so to speak. Sanctification is where we're learning to walk out who we really are in Christ. Salvation is the scriptures encourage us to work out our salvation. And so it's the same thing with the fullness of the Spirit. We're to learn how to walk in that, how to receive it, how to receive more fillings. And the Bible really gets into two significant ways that the fullness and the fullness of the Holy Spirit is expressed in the Bible. I'm just going to list them. But I encourage you to go into it. The first is the full of the Holy Spirit. In Luke 4:1, it says that Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit. And when he was full of the Holy Spirit, he was led by that idiot. No, actually, the scripture says he was led by the Spirit. but he encountered the idiot, Satan. And he was led to fast and pray for 40 days, and then he encountered Satan. Acts 6:3, remember the apostles said, look, we need to be about praying and teaching the word of God, so pick for us six men who are full of Holy Spirit. Acts 11:12, it says that Barnabas was a man who was full of Holy Spirit and was sent to Antioch to encourage people to preach to Jesus. Now, when you look at that and you read about it, and you read about it in a bunch of various places, this full of the Holy Spirit seems to be speaking to their maturity and their wisdom or their stature in the Lord and how they are pursuing God. And then the Bible goes on to tell us what we can do to get to where they are. And it talks about being filled with the Holy Spirit. Luke 1:15. This is what the angel of the in the Holy of Holies told Zechariah about his coming son, that he would be filled with the Holy Spirit so he could do all he was called to do. Luke 1:41, when Elizabeth, remember when Mary found out that she was pregnant and she went to be with Elizabeth, her cousin? And when Mary came into her presence, it says that Elizabeth became filled with the Holy Spirit, and John leaped in her womb. Luke 1:67, Zechariah, husband of Elizabeth, father of John the Baptist, prophesied after John was born, and his mouth was open because he was filled with the Holy Spirit. Acts 4:8, Peter spoke boldly before the council after the lame was healed. Remember when they were going up to the thing, and the lame man says, got some bucks? And he said, no, but such as I have, I give unto you in the name of Jesus, arise and walk. And then he goes in, and they're upset because he's doing what Jesus did, healing people on the Sabbath. Well, he was filled with Holy Spirit. In Acts 4:31, this is after some of the apostles were locked up and let loose. What happened? The believers were filled with the Holy Spirit. And even though there was persecution, they spoke the word of God with even greater boldness. So be careful. Acts 7:55. Stephen, remember, he was one of the six, and he was already full of the Holy Spirit, right? That's what it says in Acts 6:31. But what happens in 7:55? He was filled with the Spirit, and he prophesied to the Pharisees, and he was stoned to death. Not the kind of stone we talk about today. Acts 13:9, Paul was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he challenged a false prophet and prophesied that he would be blind for a time, which happened. And what happened with that? It led the proconsul to accept the Lord and become a believer. Acts 13:52 says that Paul and Barnabas were filled with the Spirit in Antioch when they were explaining that the Gentiles were included. See, these all speak to a filling subsequent to our salvation that enabled people to do what God had called them to do with power and with boldness. You know, the bottom line is that conversion, we receive the Holy Spirit. We have free will. Anybody here disagree we have free will? What do you do with your free will? I've been told many times free will, basically what you're seeing, trumps the sovereignty of God. I say we have the free will. God has given us the free will. Listen carefully. So that we can submit it to the sovereignty of God. At conversion, we experience a spirit baptism. Post-conversion, I believe, and I don't really care what term we use, phrase, I just told what I prefer, but I'm not making a theological statement or anything. But I'll say this, we have the opportunity to receive many fillings. You know, I remember started going to an Assembly of God church. And they were talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I'm sitting in a pew and I'm going, no clue what they're talking about. There's this little old lady sitting beside me. And I said, what's that? You haven't received the baptism of the Holy Spirit? And I went, ma'am, I don't know what it is. She literally pushed me out of the pew. and told me to go down front. And I'm going, yes, ma'am. So I went down front. It was just me and the pastor. And he was looking at me. And he says, you want to receive the Holy Spirit? I said, I don't know what that is. Baptism of the Holy Spirit? Well, he prayed for me, and all of a sudden he says he's received. I have no idea what went on. And it was many months later that I began to speak in tongues. But I'm glad it didn't stop there. I'm glad. I pray every Sunday morning that I'm filled with the Spirit to bring forth the Word of God. Because I don't want to preach. Okay, there's an amber alert.
No, it's a severe thunderstorm.
Oh, a severe thunderstorm. It's better than the amber alert.
On graduation day.
Well, if you're outside, yeah. See, that's why I didn't walk at any of my graduations. Well, I did my high school one, but I didn't in my college. But anyway, post-conversion, we can expect to receive many fillings of the Holy Spirit. Whenever God calls us to do something, he doesn't say, watch this, Jesus. I'm sending them in by themselves. Let's see how they handle it. No. We receive another filling in the Spirit to go and do what it is he has called us to do. Whatever it is. Okay, let me ask the ones who have been, are you eating mine? Yes, she's got the big old grin back there. I am not using your name on the tape because I don't want you to be embarrassed by this, though I'm embarrassing you. But the person, who made those roses? Okay. She was filled with the Holy Spirit to do that, to bless you. Does that bless you guys?
Yes.
Does it build up the church?
Yes.
Does it build up relationships?
Yes.
Do you think Holy Spirit had something to do with that? Okay. The guy that was kneeling and said, what was the words again? My God is their God?
Their God is my God.
Their God is my God. Do you think the Holy Spirit came on him at that moment? I think he was full of the Holy Spirit. I need to be overflowing and dripping with Holy Spirit. Okay? So it doesn't matter what you do in the name of Christ. There's a filling that comes with the Holy Spirit. See, the truth is, we are commanded to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It is not optional territory for Christians. It's okay to seek it. We need to. Ephesians 5, 17, 18. That's what I'm talking about, ESV. Therefore, do not be foolish. And that word foolish is not a good word in the Bible. But understand what the will of the Lord is. In other words, if you don't want to be foolish, understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery. But be filled with the Spirit. Let's walk in obedience. Let's seek those fillings. Let's be aggressive. Let's not be passive. Let's have this expectancy that we go after, that we prepare even on Sunday mornings before we come. And that God would give you a song, a psalm, a hymn, a spiritual song, whatever, prophetic word. But we want to be aggressive so that we will be filled with the Holy Spirit, that we'll be continue to be filled with the Holy Spirit, that we'll be full of the Holy Spirit, so that we can more easily focus on him and define who we really are. Do we, and I know we've said this before, but it's so important for us to grasp, but do we know that we're God's favorite? Can you say that with confidence, even when you're in the pits? Can we say that God is good? Can we say he loves me? Can we say that, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, that you will walk through? As we do, the body of Christ will be built and will be strengthened. And I believe with all my heart, folks, that the church will be filled not only with his glory, but with his power. I mean, I'm going to ask for a show of hands. Who wants to see the power of God?
Amen.
Who wants to see miracles? Who wants to see the blind see? Who wants to see the lame walk? Who wants to see empty wheelchairs emptied? Now, sometimes he doesn't. What's her name? The girl that had the...
Johnny Erickson.
She's probably prayed thousands of prayers to walk out. People, she's probably had more hands laid on her. She's got handprints on her head. But God had a purpose for her, and what she has accomplished in building the kingdom from that wheelchair has been fantastic. But let us be people that always seek with expectation Him, His Holy Spirit. Let's thank God that we received the Holy Spirit at conversion. Let's thank God that there are additional experiences that we will have with the Holy Spirit. Let's thank God that they will empower us to walk out our gifts that have been given to us. Let's thank God that it will lead to a church of expectation and one that the world needs to see. The world needs to see the true church. Yes, it might be persecuted, but it needs to see it. Because as it does, it will all lead to God's power and His glory. And here's the good part. Many, many, many salvations, which is what it's all about. Worship team, come on back up, please. I love Acts 2, 42 and 47. If you've been around here at all, you know that. But I especially love Acts 2, 47. And many were added daily to the church. And if you know anything about the church at that time, you were either in or you were out. There was no lukewarm church back in that day. You were either radical or you weren't a believer. Do you hear that? You were either radical or you weren't a believer. God is raising up His true church. I talk with some friends of mine that are pastors, and how the church appears to be decreasing in numbers. I personally think that God's pruning it, and He's raising up the true believers. And that there's a point that's coming, and I don't think it's that far, but I'm not going to bet anybody's life on it. But I really sense it's not that far away to where the church is going to be imbued in power. And a lot of that is because there are things that are happening in this country that are just anti-Christian. A lot. So, pray. Seek fillings of the Holy Spirit. It will not only bless you, it will bless your Lord, and it will bless us. Amen.